The gospel reading we have just heard has long been contentious. The most troubling phrase is, Mary has chosen the better part. It sounds as if the practical concerns of her sister Martha and the desire of Martha to recruit Mary to help her are rebuked by Jesus. It seems that Mary's being and listening, sitting passively, has trumped Martha's doing and caring and being active. The other concern around the passage, which I'll just take a moment to explain, is really whether Luke is supporting feminist aspirations or not. This is about Mary sitting and listening to Jesus. Now, some commentators wish to use that phrase to support the equality of women disciples. They would maintain that such a posture of sitting and listening is that of a disciple, and normally disciples of great teachers were male. Jesus, in their understanding, would then be defending the rights of Mary to be equally present with the men and breaking free of stereotypical female roles. The counter-argument that others point out is that in the first century Hebrew culture, it was not unusual for women to study Torah, i.e. the first five books of the Bible. And therefore, Mary is portrayed, furthermore, then Mary is portrayed as passively sitting and listening, rather than engaging and proclaiming. They compare this with the fourth gospel, John's, where Martha and Mary are both portrayed much more positively, equals with each other, servers at table, and preachers of the faith. So that's this little argument about Luke. Is he supporting women in ministry or is he not? Let's return to the key issue about practicality and listening and being. Luke says this is Martha's household. She's the one running the place. She's the one offering hospitality. And this was very similar to, and indeed may be a reflection of, the situation in the early church, where believers met together in homes. There were no great buildings like this one. And these homes often belonged to rich widows. Hospitality was and is very important in Near Eastern culture. In our first reading today from Genesis 18, it was by offering hospitality to these three strangers that Abraham entertained God. I'll return to that passage in a moment. But the point is that when we offer hospitality, we open ourselves to the divine. And there are many fables, religious type of stories about offering food and shelter to strangers and discovering that stranger is an angel or even Jesus in disguise. And these sort of mythic stories, the point of them is to encourage us not to judge others by their familiarity or their clothes or their culture or their habits. They remind us that the divine can surprise us, being in our midst in a guise we don't recognize. Coming back to Luke's story, I think the main point is that it's not the offering of hospitality that is the problem, but the manner in which Martha is doing it. She's fussing around. And Luke uses three different words which depict her behavior as being distracted and worrying and bothering. So the criticism of her doesn't seem to be aimed at the practical roles which belong to a good host, but a preoccupation with them that blocks out everything else. The story is trying to make a point about attitudes. It's when practical tasks assume dimensions which subvert our best intentions. Being too worried about the arrangements may subvert the purpose of the visit. Martha, in her concern to feed and make everyone comfortable, might end up never hearing and engaging with the message and person of Jesus. The Benedictine monk Hugo Face writes, "Today the great enemies of hospitality are busyness, fear, and professionalism. If I don't have time to talk to the person seeking help, hospitality is out of the question. The advent of a guest, like the unanticipated needs of fellow monks, is a gauge of our use of time. If we have no time for the guest, our day is too full." The story of Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre is all about hospitality. In the Garden of Eden, Genesis 1-3, God allegedly walked with the first human beings, calling out to them as familiar friends. However, between Genesis 3 and Genesis 18, God only made very sporadic appearances. However, as we read in the first verse of chapter 18, the Lord appeared to Abraham as he sat at the entrance of his tent. Looking up, Abraham saw these three strangers approaching. And immediately, despite the fierce sun in the middle of the day, ran out to greet them. We sense the warmth and the eagerness and the energetic generosity of Abraham. And with that typical Near Eastern courtesy, he would not allow these men to pass until he had given them all the refreshment and comfort in his power. And all was haste, bustle, and excitement. Notice the parallels here with Martha. As Abraham rushed to pour out his generosity at the feet of these three total strangers. Yet in his world, like in our own, the stranger often represented danger. Even today, we train children to be wary of strangers. Strangers are an unknown quantity. Abraham himself was a stranger in Canaan, and he recognized his marginal status there, for a stranger had no tribe or kin to protect him. However, here at the Oaks of Mamre, Abraham's ready to bring these three men, three strange men, into his family home, and became, consequently, the first human being to enjoy an intimacy with the divine since the expulsion from Eden. This type of meeting with God, an epiphany, if you like, was common in the pagan world. But later Israelites would deny that God could assume human form. So this legend at Mamre derives from a time when the religion of the Israelites differed little from their pagan neighbors. However, the story was included in the Bible because it underlined a truth that would be of crucial importance to the three great monotheistic faiths: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, who would all insist that practical charity to others was the most important religious virtue of all. Christians, of course, would see with this apparition at Mamre an early manifestation of God as Trinity, and you can think of Rublev's icon of the three sitting around, with Abraham bowing low before these strangers, showing them the same reverence as he would to God, and receiving them into his home. As a result of this, says Karen Armstrong, God could sit and eat with Abraham as a friend. But not read out in our reading today, you'll probably hear it next week. The friendship, though, goes on. It isn't just sitting and eating, because it demands a certain parity. God no longer wanted unthinking obedience from the people God had chosen. He decided to take Abraham into his confidence about the imminent destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Unlike Noah, however, Abraham did not scuttle round obediently doing God's bidding. But Abraham spoke up. He had the courage to argue with this frightening and somewhat unpredictable deity. Abraham begged God not to destroy the innocent along with the guilty. Abraham shows this remarkable compassion and concern for justice, pleading for the lives of total strangers in the condemned cities. As we know, Abraham had many faults. He was not your ideal family man. But he was capable of this selfless love for his fellow human beings that all the great religions have said is the ultimate test of true spirituality. So to recap on Abraham, he extended hospitality to strangers and in that encounter met God as friend. That friendship led God to confide in Abraham, and Abraham in turn to lobby God to spare the lives of strangers, which God did. Somewhat circular thing here about strangers, hospitality, God, friendship, argument, tussling, sparing strangers, etc. And in all this, there is these great truths about hospitality and compassion, that this is a way into the divine. This is a way to know God when we extend hospitality, when we're compassionate to our fellow human beings. And of course, this story then provides a very helpful tablet to come back to the Martha and Mary story. Luke's Martha was hustling and bustling in a sense like Abraham was doing. But somehow, the writer of Luke is trying to say she took her eyes off the central part of hospitality, which is extending that compassion and inclusion to your guests. We don't know whether that's true or not, because we weren't there. But that seems to be what's behind the text. And so Luke, though, then is encouraging the building of friendships with God known in Jesus. That same friendship paradigm is operating. Come and sit, meet, engage with Jesus, where both parties can receive nurture and challenge.